This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The number of drownings this year in the Great Lakes is on pace to top last year's record. 51 people have drowned in one of the five lakes in 2019, according to the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. 27 of those have been in Lake Michigan, compared to 15 at this time a year ago. Jamie Rackleft is executive director of the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium. The group seeks to educate the public and prevent drownings on the Great Lakes. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for having me.
So we have seen an increase in drownings on the Great Lakes this summer. What are the main causes of drowning? What causes someone to be swimming and not make it back to shore?
Well, there's lots of reasons. The weather conditions are certainly a factor. Sometimes it can even be a clear, bright, sunshiny day on the shores of Lake Michigan, for example, and all of a sudden there can be a wave of what the meteorologists call a meteo tsunami, which could be caused from a storm on the other side of the lake many hours before. So you think everything's fine, you don't wear your life jacket, you're out on a stand-up paddleboard or a kayak, and all of a sudden there's a surprisingly large wave that can knock you right over and out of your boat. That's just one example, but a lot of people will go out to play in the waves. I was fortunate enough to be saved from Lake Michigan Rip Current years ago, but I just thought everything was fine. It was a bright, sunshiny day. There were 3 and 4 foot waves, but they just looked like fun. And the next thing you know, you're being pulled out into the lake because these rip currents can form suddenly and they move swiftly and you can't fight the force of them. There are other types of dangerous currents as well, but the rip currents, of course, are the most famous. Yet a lot of people don't know that they even exist on the Great Lakes.
And do people overestimate their ability to handle those? Do they think, well, I'm a good swimmer? Maybe even they, were a competitive swimmer at one time and think whatever's out there and it's just Lake Michigan, it's not the ocean, I'll be able to handle it.
Absolutely true. Males in particular, we tend to overestimate our abilities. We all think we're above average swimmers and pretty much everything else. And, even if you're a marathon runner, you don't just suddenly go and run a marathon. You train for it, you're ready for it, you prepare. Same thing if you get caught in a rip current. It's like a treadmill. Even if you're a good swimmer, you think you can fight it, and you just can't. And even if you know what to do, which we recommend flip, float, and follow, which I can go into, the waves can just tear you down, just wear you out so quickly. And you think you have time to get back to shore, and you may not. So our number one recommendation, I'll just say right up front, is to wear a life jacket when you're in or around the water, especially the Great Lakes, because things can happen that you don't expect. Everyone thinks drowning will happen to someone else. They see these articles, they hear these interviews, and they think, oh, yeah, that's terrible, but that would never happen to me because I would never do that, when in fact nobody thinks that, and yet it's happened to almost 800 people in the Great Lakes this decade alone.
So wear a life jacket. Even if someone is a strong swimmer, you think they should have a life jacket when they go out into the Great Lakes?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because you don't know what to expect. You don't put on your seatbelt as you're about to crash or your bike helmet as you're about to fall. So don't expect that you'll be able to find and put on your life jacket as you're about to drown.
You mentioned earlier that idea of flipping on your back. Take us through that. You're in the middle of Lake Michigan, and all of a sudden you feel the rip currents, and maybe they're taking you out away from shore. What's the procedure at that point that you should follow?
Yeah, just like stop, drop, and roll. If you catch on fire, we recommend flip, float, and follow if you're caught in a rip current or you're drowning. Flip over onto your back. You can avoid inhaling water. You can control your panic, and you can just start to get your wits about you and develop a plan. And the first thing is don't try to go back towards the shore directly. Swim to the side or float to the side, because then you can get out of the grip of the rip current that's pushing you out into the lake. Float on your back. As long as you're floating, you're alive, you're controlling your panic, you're controlling your breathing, you're conserving energy. You can yell for help, which is ultimately what saved me. I swallowed my male pride and yelled for help early on, even though I, kind of thought I could probably get out of this. But what I learned later is the closer you get to drowning, the more difficult it is or impossible it is to actually yell, because all you can do is gasp for air. So fortunately, I yelled for help. Someone heard me, and even though I didn't know they were on the way because I couldn't see over the big waves or hear over the crashing waves and wind, they got to me at the last second. So yell for help. If you try to wave, you're bound to sink, but maybe wave just quickly, but then continue to float and tread water. And then follow the path of least resistance back to the shore. And that might mean just letting the current take you out a little bit and then over to the side, or if you can, try to swim to the side and come diagonally back towards the shore. But don't try to fight the rip current itself, because even Michael Phelps, an Olympic swimmer, can't fight the force of a Lake Michigan rip current or any Great Lake rip current.
We have heard stories over the years of people who have drowned while trying to save others from drowning. If you find yourself in the position of seeing that somebody is in distress out there, what are the right things to do?
Yeah, the three things we talk about are how to avoid drowning by knowing before you go, checking the forecast and warnings and so on, escaping, like I just talked about, with flip, float, and follow and yelling for help. And then the other main thing is to how to safely save others. And what happens so frequently is someone gets in distress in the water, often a young child. Parents go running out after them with no flotation, and the would-be rescuer ends up becoming the victim or another victim. So we recommend save yourself first, just like on the plane where they say to put your mask, your oxygen mask on first. Find some flotation for yourself first. If you can throw it from the shore or from a pier, that's even better. But if you have to go out, grab some kind of flotation, even a cooler. Just look, scan the beach really quickly. Driftwood, soccer ball, anything you can find. Ideally, you know, a kayak or a boogie board or some other approved, Coast Guard approved flotation device. But anything that floats will work. Keep that between you and the person drowning, because they're just going to lunge on you because they're panicked and in shock. And then help them back to shore. But save yourself first, or you end up having more victims.
When are the times that you just should not be getting in the water?
Well, we don't want to discourage people from we want people to safely enjoy the Great Lakes. We used to talk about preventing drowning. Don't drown. Here's how to not drown. And again, people don't think it's going to happen to them. So our focus in the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium, which is a group of more than 500 members from dozens of different water safety organizations around the eight Great Lakes states in Ontario, we recommend safely enjoying the Great Lakes. And that means, yeah, you can go out and play in the waves. You can go out on a boat. But be safe. Have a life jacket on. If you're on a floaty, like one of those, you know, kids' toys, like you're seeing more of these big swans and big unicorns and all this, offshore winds can take them out of reach within seconds. So check the waves, check the wind, check the weather forecast, and when in doubt, don't go out. Stay dry when waves are high, things like that. Just be smart.
And if the red flags are out, take that warning seriously?
Yeah, I mean, the flag systems aren't ideal. I mean, we certainly recommend them, but what makes them work is having people monitor them and change them throughout the day, because conditions change. So it might be bad in the morning, you have a red flag, and then it clears up later in the day and the red flag's still flying, or vice versa. People think, oh, it's green, and then the conditions have changed and it's bad. So people need to be able to trust the flag warnings. So we urge the park rangers and the beach workers to keep those up to date throughout the day, or people won't believe in them anymore.
And so would you also then give somebody who's going to the beach a note of caution there, that if the green flag is up, it is possible that is relying on information from earlier in the day. Perhaps it doesn't truly apply to the moment you arrive.
Yeah, don't go solely by that. I mean, check the National Weather Service has a Great Lakes Beach Hazard Forecast page that has up-to-date warnings and so on, and cautions, red, green, yellow for rip currents and other types of warnings. The weather forecast, obviously, storms can come in very quickly over the lake. So, you know, don't just use one judgment. Trust your gut instincts as well as the experts from the National Weather Service or the Weather Channel or the local rangers or park experts. But have a combination of those things to keep yourself and your family safe. And when in doubt, just don't go out. Stay on the beach. You're safe on the beach.
You have called drownings a neglected public safety issue. Why do you think it hasn't gotten more attention?
That's a great question. I mean, that's the Centers for Disease Control called it a neglected public health issue, and we certainly agree. I mean, you have fire drills in the schools every year, and you have tornado drills, and you have active shooter drills now, and even earthquake drills in some in some Great Lakes states, believe it or not. But there isn't a regular annual water safety training. And we have people that do that. There's members of our consortium. The Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project has fantastic training for kids and people of all ages. And if everybody knew what the members of our organization know, we could virtually eliminate drownings. I mean, there's more than 100 a year on average, and all of them are preventable with knowing how to swim and knowing some basic things about how to avoid, escape, and safely save others.
As you noted, you are yourself a survivor. You were in a rip current and had to be rescued. What are the things that you believed as you went out that day that you see people now probably think the same thing? And you know, you have now come to understand where the thinking was faulty, but you maybe are there are misconceptions that you would like other people to understand.
Yeah, I mean, I had no sense of danger. I mean, I joked about there not being sharks, or, you know, they talk about unsalted and all that. And, you know, I've been going up north to the Sleeping Bear Dunes area my whole life and never had an incident, hadn't heard of rip currents. I was completely oblivious to it. So that's why I formed this Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium, to bring together all these people who are passionate about it and know these things. But what I would say is, you just need to pay attention. You need to, you know, not be looking at your phone when you should be holding your little kid's hand. You know, touch supervision is what we recommend for little ones. Life jackets for everybody. Watch the water. Designate someone to watch the water at all times. If they have to, you know, get up and go get something to drink, hand something to someone else and say, you're in charge. You're watching the water. You're watching the kids now. Now, ideally, there's lifeguards everywhere. And, of course, there aren't. And we can get into that if you want. But lifeguards absolutely save lives. They're the best investment that any shoreline community can make. But when there aren't any lifeguards, you have to be extra vigilant as a parent, as an adult, as someone who wants to prevent drownings.
Well, right. There are not many lifeguards if you go around the Great Lakes, or there are many places you can go and not see a lifeguard. You know, what would you say to, the city manager or whomever is making that decision about whether or not they should make room in their budget to hire lifeguards and then go ahead and do it?
Well, the two reasons that we hear are, one, liability. They're afraid if they do anything and something goes wrong, if they hire lifeguards, if they put rescue equipment out, even warning signage, if anything goes wrong, they're afraid that they're going to get sued. And, of course, they defer to the city attorney for advice. But the city attorney's job isn't to keep people safe. It's to protect the community from lawsuits. So putting up a sign that says no lifeguard on duty doesn't save anybody. It just protects the community from litigation. But in reality, what we found is you can get sued for not doing anything. And wouldn't, if you're going to get sued, and anybody can get sued for anything, it's a matter of whether you win or not, but wouldn't you rather get sued for trying to help than for doing nothing? I mean, it just makes no sense to any of us in this organization why they don't do everything they can. And of course, after there's a tragedy, then they come to us and say, all right, we need to make sure this doesn't happen. What can we do? And then they start to think about lifeguards and rescue equipment stations and warning signage and all those types of things. But we're trying to get people to be proactive about it, to certainly, you know, you have to protect yourself from litigation and so on. But again, wouldn't you rather do the right thing and try to prevent people from drowning instead of just protecting yourself from that?
51 drownings in the Great Lakes this year is the last number I've seen. 27 drownings in Lake Michigan alone. You know, obviously that's tragic, but do those numbers focus some attention on the problem and on the need for safety on the water and perhaps on the need for more lifeguards?
Well, I hope that they do. I don't know what the magic number is to get people to pay attention to that, but I wouldn't say that there's a trend. The drownings have been up and down on the Great Lakes over the years. It's somewhat flat to last year overall in the Great Lakes, but yes, it's way up on Lake Michigan. You know, we have theories, of course. You don't know for sure. There's a lot of different factors. The economy is better, so people are taking more vacations. They're going to the beach because they see the ads for Pure Michigan. The water's warm, so they're going in the water. The water levels are higher, so there's more wave energy, creating more of these dangerous currents near the shore where the people are and so on. Lots of, when the weather's worse on the weekend, when more people are there, that can affect the numbers. So our attention is more about prevention and how can we keep people safe? How do we help them safely enjoy? And again, the number one tip is wear a life jacket. When it, don't just bring it, wear it.
Jamie Ratcliff, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Jamie Ratcliff is president and executive director of the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium. Links with more information about the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium can be found at WMUK.org. WMUK's West Southwest is available through Apple Podcasts and by searching podcasts in Google Music. It can also be found at our website and through the WMUK app. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.